Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Gridwatch podcast, episode number 6, where we had the Turkish Grand Prix this weekend and where we saw the GOAT win his 7th world title and add another record to his books. But before we talk about Lewis and the rest of the race, I'll introduce you to who we've got tonight. We've got Alex, Sesemba, and Rickson here joining me. Hopefully you're all good tonight.
Yeah, just a minor downside. I haven't got any beers left to enjoy during the podcast.
Oh, no.
Well, we're doing the podcast earlier this time, aren't we? So I also don't have a beer with me. Just because we're recording it a bit earlier, because obviously the race was earlier, so
yeah,
it gave us more time. So the alcohol is not flowing yet.
No, I've got water, so it's a bit boring, isn't it?
But yeah, I mean, we're not saying we have to do this podcast drunk.
I mean, but that might be a product we could do.
Oh God! It's just gonna be Rickson ranting about the goat all year.
I can do that sober, mate.
Yeah, solid point. Actually,
yeah, he doesn't need anything.
God, imagine if you took cocaine. God, we'd be talking for hours if you did that podcast.
Right, kids, don't do cocaine.
Yeah, we don't endorse taking drugs. Please don't sue us. But let's talk about the race. Of course, a manic race. Qualifying was manic and then the race. But before we get into it, I just want to talk about Lewis hitting that 7th world title, matching Michael Schumacher's record. And we all think it might be me 8 next year. But Rickson, let's start with you because you are a Mercedes fan. 7 world titles. You could see the emotion in Lewis at the end of the Grand Prix. He was in tears. Difficult to speak. And as a fan, what's it like in your shoes seeing that 7th world title be won?
Yeah, I mean, it's that's it really, isn't it? He's pretty much done everything he can now, apart from going one further. But the thing that I liked about it the most is he immediately thanked the team. It's never about him. It's always about the people that have got him to where he is, you know. And you can only be as good as the car you're in. So, you know, they've given him a car to win world championships, and he's paid them back and done it fine. So, I mean, look, it's season's not over yet. And even though he's won the championship, there's still races to go, which kind of takes your eye off the fact that, you know, now that the drivers' championship is over with, you know, it gives a chance for the guys further down to prove a point. But I think what he's achieved in the sport in general for British motor fans and just, I think, F1 in general is, you know, I think it's the pinnacle. I don't think there's going to be a driver better than him in for a long time. I think 7 championships is going to be difficult. And I think given the fact that this season has been a bit all over the shop in terms of, you know, this time, this time a year ago, pretty much, we didn't, well, that's like March, right? We didn't know where we were going, what tracks we were going to race at. Didn't even know that there was going to be a season. So I think this is the most, even though it ended up being easy for him, I think it's the most difficult season to be a world champion, just because you've not known brand new circuits, you know? So yeah, I think, yeah, he's proved the point today. He is the best.
Yeah, I'm sure Ken won't agree with you. He's the only one to make 7, but it's such an achievement to get. And Alex and Ken, I mean, it's all three of us, we're not Mercedes and Lewis fans, but we can't not say that it is an incredible achievement to get and to hit 7 and match Schumacher's record.
I mean, it's unbelievable. The thing is, you've kind of forgotten what a time where Hamilton wasn't dominating the sport.
Definitely.
It's been so long. Even when Rosberg won his title, Hamilton, if he didn't have his engine blowout in Malaysia, would now be on 8 world titles, because again, he was still dominating that season along with Rosberg. But you know, the last 4 years, he's absolutely dominated. The sort of 4 years previous to that with Rosberg, he was always there. And it's domination over so many years, and having everything that's come at him in terms of teammates this season, as Rickson said, we didn't know what we were going to be, if there was going to be a championship this season, what races there were going to be, and to have gone to every race, or like obviously quite a lot of the new races gone to it in the same boat as everyone else, in that, you know, no data, no information about the track, and still dominate those races and mm-hmm. win them and win the championship three races early in a 17 race season is pretty phenomenal. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, what they said. Yeah, it's an incredible achievement. That's true. And finally, we can. I mean, yes, the car is good, but can everyone now please shut up that it's just the car? Because we've seen that it's not a cakewalk to drive that thing.
Today.
And can we just say as well, people on Twitter that are saying that Bottas is a mid-tier driver. Maybe he's not as good as Lewis, but Lewis is the best to ever do it. If you're his teammate, you know, it's obviously going to be difficult. And it was winding me up seeing him as soon as the race had finished, being like, he's only won it because of the car. Like, that is the most annoying thing to see.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it was, but there was a good tweet that said you could put like a Renault Clio on pole and then put Lewis in it and be like, if you win, like if you don't win, you aren't the best. Like, that's just not how it works. It's F1 motorsport in general. Well, say that F1 anyway, because the cars aren't equal. Good drivers get the good cars. I know we've said this, but we've probably said this before. If you're not a good driver, you're never going to get a good car, you know. And you get the best cars by waiting your time. Well, biding your time, waiting for a seat to appear. Seat appears. Well, yeah. If you do well,
we pay for it.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about like top teams. You don't, there is rarely a pay driver in the top three teams.
Top team, yeah.
Rarely, you know, because they just, you wouldn't want to risk that much putting a pay driver in a top team because they might not be good. So, yeah, seeing that, it was just, people just always have to take something away. It's like, for me, even though it's obvious that I'm not the biggest fan of Max, if he won the world championship today in the fashion that Lewis did, I'd be like, fair play, you know. And I think I don't understand how you can not thinking he's the best is fine, because we've said it before, it's like a generational thing of who's the best driver because the cars change. But to say that he's not one of the best, is it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it's people try and take things away from, I think sometimes people think they try and take away from the glory because it's so good sometimes, and I think some people just being negative, aren't they, and trying to downplay it when it is a massive achievement to get. And yeah, Bottas was wanked today, and it was hilarious to watch him spin off. I'll be honest, it did make me laugh every time he did spin. But let's talk about the race now. We've done enough arse licking today, so let's talk about the race. And it almost started the day before in qualifying, which was manic to say the least, with Mr. Lancelot getting pole.
Turn up for the books, wasn't it? Jesus, I don't think anyone expected Lance to come out of that session in pole position. You expected Verstappen, obviously, the Red Bull, incredible aerodynamically. That was his to lose, and then he lost it. It was. I still can't believe Max didn't get pole in that car, and Lance Stroll did.
I think it's just a case of timing, you know, regardless, like, if any, well, obviously we all know Force India are a relatively good Force India racing point.
Who?
Who? 2018.
They're a relatively quick team because they've got Merc engine and they've got a pretty good, their car's built really well, actually. But if Max was, I can't remember exactly what happened, but if Max was either a little bit earlier or a little bit later, and he got caught up a bit of traffic, I think, at one point.
He was on Raikkonen, wasn't he?
Yeah. So, you know, it was just good timing from Stroll. He got out, and Stroll's actually very good in those kind of, when it's not pouring down, but it's a little bit wet. Mm. And I think in the race, it showed that clearly when it dried up, he's not particularly good, or he hasn't got a lot of patience.
Well,
but
he kept the lead a lot longer than what any of us anticipated.
Well, the thing is,
seconds ahead of Perez at one point, wasn't he? He wasn't.
He's a good driver, man. But it was just a case of he got caught out just because it stopped raining, basically.
Yeah,
and, you know, then you see the like what I noticed is during the race, the guys that made their way up the grid, Vettel, Max, Lewis, like they've been racing for longer than the likes of Albon and Stroll, so they've got more that they know how to handle the car more when you're on.
Yeah.
When technically it's dry, but it's not because it's still a bit wet. Like clearly they've raced like that in a not with that type of track though. That I don't know why they did that whole track resurfacing thing.
They had to.
But yeah,
they had to resurface. There were some cracks and everything. I've read it online. Michael guy said that, you know, if they wouldn't resurface, there'd obviously be a lot of complaints about the condition of the track.
Yeah.
But on Dutch telly, they always compare the pole lap to whoever got second, like say Lewis to Valtteri. And it's always in the pre-race build-up. And he said, you know, we're going to compare first and second. We're going to compare Stroll and Max. And then he said, you know, not something I was thinking about saying in 2020. But Max held pole. Obviously, they traded fastest mini sectors. But up until the final corner, the pole was for Max. And then he lost, what was it in the end? 2 point something something. Tenths behind. But he was up by 2 tenths up until that last corner. And he lost 4 tenths coming out of that corner due to wheel spin.
Jesus.
You could hear the car just struggling for grip.
Yeah. We saw that from him off the start as well. Max Verstappen, his car and Albon just didn't move off the start.
Yeah, but it's not the first time that Red Bull kicked into anti-stall without there being a cause to go into anti-stall. Max has had a few rubbish starts this season, where usually he's able to recover just because Red Bull is second best car on the grid. In my opinion, at least. But I don't know, that thing kicks into anti-stall quite easily, and it might just have been, you know, everyone said like, oh, there's a dry line on the left where second, fourth, sixth, etc. started, and everyone was chatting about how it's an advantage. Well, if you're on full wets, it's not really, is it?
I thought Lando was on the left side. If you're looking down, yeah.
All the even numbers.
Yes.
That side of the track was just I'm not going to say fully dry, but you know, slightly
less wet.
Yeah, less wet.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I've thought was strange. It was just before quali, when they were not quali, the race, when they were driving to the grid. Is there something wrong with them this year? There seems to be people seem to be crashing on the first laps more and more. Like we had Max crash. Obviously we had two today. George and Gio both were, I was making a drink, so I missed it. But it's clearly something going on. I don't know what it is, but it feels like people are having crashes without really needing to. It's very strange.
Yeah, I was the same. I legged it downstairs and made a coffee at 10:05, and then I missed. I as it was light down, away we go from Crofty, as I switched on the TV, so I timed it perfectly, I think. But yeah, it's weird how people are crashing. I mean, it is wet, and
you're barely going anywhere.
I completely agree. And these are the top, supposed to be the best 20 drivers in the world, and people have been it on formation laps. Before the formation lap. So it is. Yeah, I don't know what is going on sometimes. But the start of the race was manic, and just contact between the Renaults, and then Bottas went for a spin. And then out of nowhere, Vettel's up to P3, which no one expected from starting in, was it P11, P12? So it was crazy. Yeah, it was just a nut start. And rain does just cause absolute havoc on starts and races in F1 especially.
Love the start that it went, you know, lights out, away we go. And then no one moved. The cars weren't getting any bigger as they came towards the camera. And they were squirming. It just didn't seem to get any closer. And then you sort of come out of the corner, and then suddenly you just see a red car up there. And I just assumed, quite obviously, it was Leclerc.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
And then I see the number 5 and just go, no, they swap numbers, surely. That's not Seb up there. He'll fall back anyway. And then obviously didn't and drove a brilliant race, to be fair.
Yeah, he did, and it was good to see him up there because it felt like the season he's had the worst car, but in wet conditions, it really equals out the field. And you know, you saw Racing Point at the head of the Grand Prix. Even Albon was doing well, which is unheard of in the Grand Prix. But it was, you know, the I think the fact that it was wet with a newly surfaced track, and a track that not everybody knows. Well, we haven't raced there since 2011, so it's been a long time since, you know, it's new. Almost the whole track is new to most of the drivers. But then that you had that some great midfield battle, well, some midfield front battles between Stroll, Perez, Hamilton was making his way up, and then everyone was making mistakes. So it really, it was I'd even say best race of the season.
Ooh. I'll go with that. No, yeah, I'll go with that. Some good races.
It's difficult because it was a good race because obviously it was wet and because of the track, but there wasn't a lot of overtaking really. Ultimately, until the DRS was on, and then because you just had the same problem where the main place to overtake, which is the kink down the back straight, it was just too wet to go flat out, so you had to lift off, and you couldn't be in, as we found out when Max spun round, you can't be in the dirty air of the car when you go through that kink, especially if you try to make a move. And then as soon as the DRS came on, Norris was taking everybody down that straight, Lewis was made a couple of moves, and you know, so I agree, given that it was a bit wet, that it was a good race, and probably because the season's been relatively dull, I'd say it was the best. But I think there's still potential, hopefully, for that Bahrain mini circuit to be better. I'm hoping and praying
that's going to be incredible.
It's like, who's slow in the straight line? Red Bull aren't very great at good in the straight line. Williams aren't very good in the straight
Ferrari.
Line.
It's all Ferrari.
Yeah.
I reckon Russell's going to score more than a point in that
race.
He
said that this week as well, and he said it at Imola, and it never worked
out. We say it every week, we just
at some point I'll be correct.
He's almost there, but it's just... Yeah, I mean, because he's one of the few drivers who didn't pit early on, and he was close.
Started
and
on
then,
inters, which was brave.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Well, both Williams started in the pits, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Of course, that pit lane isn't. It's only like a 20-second pit lane, so it's a lot shorter than a lot of the races we've had. And he had a chance, and then Norris decided to plow into him down at the hairpin and overtake him earlier in the midfield. Well, near the end of the Grand Prix.
Hey, that was a nice overtake. To be fair, got his elbows out. Wow. Made sure I made the booster.
To be slipped fair, into him. At some point, I didn't feel like I was watching the 20 best drivers in the world.
Yeah,
some overtakes were so clumsy, like both of them sliding off track, and then it was whoever rejoined quickest got the position. And you know, when you slide about for 58 laps and you bottle it in the last 400 yards, I don't know. Well, but that's a different topic. But sometimes give me flashbacks of Formula E where you just bash the other driver out of the way to get past.
It was not as bad as Formula E. Formula E is
well, it's
F1
a lot
cars
worse.
And touring cars mixed together.
Yeah, I mean Formula E is a lot worse, but at some point you were like, what's even? And then you, well, say for example Bottas, you know, he spun in a combination turn one, turn two. Obviously, then the next few rounds, you're like, I spun here before, let's take it differently. But he kept making the same mistake. And then you're like, why? How are you doing?
It was like he went through and just went, oh, but I nearly didn't spin there. I'll try it again and see if I do it. Oh, no, the same happened again.
Yeah, I would have thought being Finnish, he'd be good in the wet.
But
he was awful.
Max was nowhere near on the same driving level as he was for the rest of the weekend. It was wet yesterday, and he had absolute control over that car. But now, obviously, you know, the move on Perez, it was unnecessary. But, you know, spray, and then he got off track on that little green thing next to the track, next to the curbs. Obviously, that's slippery, and then, you know, it's done.
Yeah.
But that almost simultaneous spin with Kimi, it was such a rookie spin, man.
Yeah, it was like if he'd given himself an extra second or so when he did spin off down that straight, he could have got Perez into the main braking area, but he bit too much more than he could chew, sort of vibe, and unfortunately he was there, and then, well, he was out of contention really for anything.
Yeah, for a decent result, yeah. But same with Leclerc. Obviously, you know, he had to go for the move on Perez. But in the end, you compromise your race and your podium. And you're lucky that the next one up is your teammate. Otherwise, can you imagine being like an AlphaTauri and you're in third, and then fourth is any other team, and you bottle a podium trying to go for a move? Obviously, you have to go for a move. Otherwise, why even bother racing?
Yeah, yeah, but true.
He got lucky. Vettel was behind him, so you know the damage for Ferrari is minimal.
Mm.
But still,
it's just, as soon as you go out wide on that corner, it just swallows you up.
Yeah,
but so many times it just swallows you up, and that's it. You're gone. You can't do anything.
Yeah, that last, it was weird as well. Those last couple of corners just didn't dry for the whole race. They were just constantly wet. It was where there was a cloud just stuck on the last sector, but it just wouldn't dry at all at that area. And we saw drivers spinning the wheels up, and we saw a few mistakes in Ricciardo spinning at the end as well, which allowed Norris to, and like I said, Leclerc going wide, Hamilton went wide there as well. It was a lot of mistakes down there.
Yeah, if that sector would have dried up just a little bit more, I was expecting dries, but it just wouldn't dry up that final 3-4 corners.
Well, I think it was the curves. Obviously, it was the final sector was just constantly soaking wet for some strange reason, but it was that curb on turn two, which is one that Bottas kept going on. Like all those all the curves around the whole track were just still soaking wet because obviously the cars hadn't been over them at all, so they were still
If it's really, really wet, you learn that in karting, if it's really wet, you attack the curbs.
Well, yeah,
spin.
Yeah.
That's great. That sounds great.
No. In karting, you either avoid or you attack them at full pelt.
Yeah,
that's what I was always taught.
You can see Hamilton and Max doing that, and some other guys. But Bottas obviously hasn't got a clue. Sees what Lewis is doing. He says, "I'll give it a go as well." And then
I'll give it a go, but I'm nowhere near as good as Lewis. Oh wait, I was spun again. Oh no!
Did someone count them?
Yeah, I counted 100,204 of a miscount.
You're probably only a couple off.
Nah,
is that spins? Is that each time he's spun and then how many spins he's done within the single spin?
yeah,
something like that. Yeah.
It's 8 per one spin.
Yeah, quick.
Because I saw him spinning that much, he started taking off like a fucking helicopter spinning that much. I was getting a bit worried.
I got
for
dizzy
him.
For when, at one point.
Imagine how he felt. Fuck.
Yeah, but throwing up in the cockpit.
Well, through that turn one and two section, he for one lap took it really cautiously. The only issue is that one lap that he took it cautiously, Hamilton was in his gearbox lapping him.
Yeah, I noticed that. He went really, really slow. And like, Hamilton was right up next to him. I thought he was going to rear end him. He was just going so slow.
When you put your hand up, when your teammate, when you're trying to overlap your teammate or lap your teammate, he blocks you. He just puts his hand up and it's like, how bad is that on Bottas?
Yeah.
Block your teammate, he gets frustrated, you've cost him time, and you're getting lapped.
Yeah, it wasn't good at all from Bottas this weekend. And one I wanted to talk about was Albon. Did very well in the wet section of the race, and then as it dried out he slipped back. But has he, because there were rumours of Checo getting that seat as well, but there are also rumours that he is taking a sabbatical till 2021. Has he done enough to keep the seat for now, or do we think it's still someone else's seat for next year?
Realistically, they should be looking elsewhere, but they'll sign him again for sure.
I don't think they will. No, I don't. I don't think he's done enough to prove that he could be in that car next season.
I know we've had this conversation before, so I'm not going to talk on it too much. But Red Bull rarely go outside of their program to get a new driver. I think they'll keep him, and because Gasly and Kvyat, I think have already no Gasly. I know. I'm not sure about Kvyat.
Kvyat hasn't signed.
Kvyat isn't signed. I doubt he will be.
We know that Gasly's back in AlphaTauri. I think they'll keep that. What will happen is they'll either do Gasly and Albon and get somebody else, which is, if that happens, that's probably the best case. What they'll do they'll keep Albon, give him another chance, either full regular season, maybe, at Red Bull, well, and then Gasly and somebody from F2 in AlphaTauri.
It looks like it's going to be Tsunoda in AlphaTauri next year.
Yeah, see, that's pretty good.
There's the Honda partnership as well, because he's Japanese.
I think what they'll do is they'll promote him too early and ruin his career too, like they've done with everybody else so far.
Classic Red Bull.
But yeah, I think he was doing really well until that spin. I knew it was coming as well when he was like third. And I was like, I hope this could be a podium. It's pretty, you know, proving a point, whatever, especially going ahead of Max. And then I just saw yellow flags in sector two. I was like, if that's Albon. And then I just see on my screen, Albon backwards. I'm like, I knew it. I could have put money on him spinning. He was in a good position. He was driving relatively well. And all it took was one spin. And then was it Hamilton that got past him? Maybe, I don't know. Somebody got past him. And that was just it then. And you're just thinking, like, you've had back-to-back races where you had an opportunity to prove that you're a good driver and you've bottled them both. I don't know.
Yeah,
you can't really help him anymore. I think it's down to him to get his head screwed on. But
yeah, no, it is real unfortunate. But I agree, really. And it's a tricky. He just struggled. But one person I thought is even worse was Latifi again. But I don't know whether we even want to talk about.
That's just a pay driver, mate. That's just normal. There's always one. Every single year, there's one where. In 3 years' time, people won't even remember him, guaranteed. So it's just one of these. Hopefully, him having a seat this year and next year is good in the long run for Williams because he gets money. But I can imagine him doing the Indy 500 in a couple of years. It's going to be one of those.
Yeah, it looks like I was just watching the 8 hours of Bahrain, and one of the drivers who popped up was Will Stevens, if anyone remembers
Will
him.
Will Stevens.
Marussia. Yeah. Yeah, I think he did. Did he do half season or did he do full?
He did a full season, I think.
I don't know.
2012.
I think he nearly did a full season. I think
2012 was that. Was that Will Stevens?
Don't remember.
Will Stevens and Charles Peake, was it? Charles Peake, remember him? Jesus.
Oh, jeez, yeah. God, yeah. No, I just he's racing in. He's in a LMP2 drive at the moment. In midfield team, but. Yeah,
so it proves a big point when we say F1 is like the pinnacle and you have to be the best because all of the drivers, like Brendan Hartley is the main one. He left Toro Rosso and he's been winning like LMP, whatever he's in.
WEC.
I don't watch anything out of it outside of F1, but he seems to be doing well and I think it's showing... Point that if Albon wants to do well, just leave, man. Just do something that you're good at, like.
Well, I disagree saying F1 is a pinnacle, but that's a topic for another day.
It is, but okay.
It is. We'll do an unpopular opinion.
And it's like Rallycross. Rallycross is the pinnacle.
Well, I love Rallycross. It's for bloody amazing.
After we had that last minute Max spin, which is when he was behind Sergio trying to do the move, there wasn't really much else between that and then the end. And to be fair, I nearly turned off. Not turned off. I nearly went to get a drink before the post-race stuff. And then was it Stroll? Yeah. So it was Charles, Lance, Seb in third, fourth and fifth.
Perez.
And then Charles went for a dive, which is fair because Norris had been pulling off the dive bombs in the third to last corner for most of the race, especially with the DRS. Problem he had is he went out to the left into the kind of damp track, locked up. Charles goes veering off wide. Then Sergio gets caught up with Charles, and then the best thing I saw was just Vettel go, cheers lads, and just go right up the inside of both for third, which was nuts, like considering where that car and Vettel has been all season, to then just be able to, it's because obviously he's done a lot of races and a lot in the wet, So he knows how he should be driving the car. But then to just take two people on the final lap, one being his teammate, and then just cruise round. And that battle that Perez and Charles had was, they lost so much time. Sainz, I saw when they were coming around the final corner, like Sainz was just from literally out of nowhere, just cruising behind them all to come, what, sixth? So
fifth.
It's like I never even watched the race.
The McLarens went under the radar really in that whole race.
They just started so far backwards. Like they were out of the top 10, and then suddenly, obviously, because they've got a good car, they can kind of claw their way back in. But I think it's the same with a lot of teams who's like the Mercs, whose tyres switch on later on. And I think that's all they need. They need a few more laps than everyone else. And then as soon as the tyres run, and then they had the DRS, Norris and Sainz were both making moves. So, yeah, it was a really good start. All right, middle. And then again, last lap, as it has been relatively, you know, for most of the races this season, bit of carnage and a last minute dive from Seb, but it was good to see him back up on the podium. I don't like drivers when they're racing against Lewis, but then as soon as they're not, I love them. And Seb's seems like a lovely guy.
Yeah, but of course they got the podium wrong as well, didn't they?
The Mexican Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, I got Sebastian Vettelez. Sebastian Vettelez and Serge Perez as the
Was it because they had second and third the wrong way around? Right, it wasn't the flags. They stood in the wrong place, didn't they? No. It had two on three and three on two, right?
The mounting was wrong, you're trying to say.
Yeah, the mounting was wrong because it was second was to the right, whereas it's usually to the left. And I was thinking, is that just like because we're in Turkey and that's how it works? Everything's backwards. But clearly not. They just got it wrong, which is, I've never seen that ever, I don't think. It was quite funny.
Yeah. Bit of rookie error there by the organisers to do that.
Never go in there again. Never.
I'd like to because it was a good race.
Well, yeah, I think the track's really good. It was a good race. I think what every racetrack should do is resurface a week before the race.
That's going to get expensive.
And then we'll just turn the sprinklers on and it'll just have that every single... That'd be great.
Yeah.
Lewis would still win, but that'd be great. Oh,
yeah, but it will level up the playing field and it'll be a good race. I reckon that's a fantastic idea. Submit that to Liberty Media.
I think Bernie already beat
Bernie. Yeah, let me just call up Bernie. Hold on.
I don't know if you do, but Bernie's not there anymore.
I want to talk to Bernie, Ollie. All right. You can't stop
I mean, he's so old, you might as well fax him, mate.
Oh.
Apparently, he lives in the same home as Ken, so I'm sure Ken knows.
See, I'm starting to wonder why I bother with this every Sunday evening.
He hasn't said anything for a while. I thought you'd fall asleep or something.
Oh, like I need my afternoon nap. Is that what
it was? It was time for his dinner, so one of the nurses came in, so he had to mute.
Was it all the food liquid as well?
With one of those special plates.
Mushy peas.
Oh, it's too funny. But as I think... they need to do is just add hills and resurface the tracks. We saw it Portimao as well. Undulation equals great racing.
Yeah, let me just dig up every single racetrack that's ever been made apart from the two you've just listed.
You don't need to. You just need to build some hills and put
build
concrete over
hills.
The top. Yeah, just build some hills.
Build some hills. Okay, go on.
Do you know how in... truck racing, and sometimes they do jumps as well. Just add those
like
in.
Monster Jam.
No.
Can you imagine if we got Hamilton on like a motocross track? His car would just get fucking stuck. He'd just get mounted on top of one of the ramps. Is that basically how we're going?
That's my suggestion. Yeah, just rallycross, but with F1 cars.
I knew you'd say rallycross.
I knew he would say it as well. I knew he would say it.
He loves it.
this week, it's Ken's turn to do two lies and a truth, and hopefully he doesn't make the mistake that I made last week by saying two truths and one lie. So hopefully you've got this.
I hope it's harder.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking of the audience, and
you're calling them. I should not. Faithful and lovely listeners. Do that. Is that what you're saying?
Apologies.
He's calling them stupid.
I meant to call you two, you three, stupid, but I said audience.
Come on.
Anyway, let's move on.
Yes.
Love your audience.
Right. I have three statements for you, and obviously one of them is the truth, two of them are a lie. And we're going to start off in America with the IndyCar. Obviously, there's been a few generations of IndyCar cars. Do you call that Indy cars? All right, never mind. We're now on the third gen, and they are retiring this generation after this season, and they're going to introduce hybrids from next year.
Ooh.
The second statement is about a car we all love.
Yeah,
and that is
Leaf.
The 0-60 time. I'm sorry, based on the 0-60 time. So 0-60 miles an hour, 0-100 kilometers an hour. The Nissan Leaf is quicker than the 2019 BMW i3. And the third statement is that in 1998, an Audi diesel won the 24 hours of the Nürburgring. Due to the fact it being a diesel, it didn't have to stop to refuel that often.
Ooh, okay.
There's a lot to unpick on that one, isn't there?
There is. Well, who are you going to go first, Ken?
Right, Rickson, you go first.
Ooh. Okay.
There's only one correct answer here, Rickson.
Yes, I'm aware. I'm just... So, obviously, we know the Leaf is the fastest car in the world. So
ever made, yeah.
Ever made, right? So... Ian, firstly, you know, I'm thinking about that one because it is a hypercar.
Yeah.
And
God.
Put Lewis Hamilton in that. He's lapping the whole grid twice.
Well, correct. If Bottas would have been driving that, maybe he would have been quicker than today.
So, and I think your Audi... I know for sure about the IndyCar in 2022. I know they're going to hybrids for 2022. So, I'm going to say it's the Leaf. I think Leaf is the lie.
You think that's... there's one truth and two lies.
I thought it was two truths and a lie. Oh, fuck. I've done it again. Okay. So, damn it. Okay. Well, now I need to rethink everything.
Right,
the truth. The truth. No, the truth is the out. Oh, I don't know. You said 2021 for the IndyCar, didn't you?
Yeah, they're retiring this generation of cars after this season. So 2021 will be the new generation of hybrid IndyCars.
Oh, okay, well, I might have my facts wrong there. I'm going to say the Audi diesel's the truth. There you go.
All right, Alex?
God, well, Jesus, Rickson took an age to do that. It gave me plenty of time to think. So
you're still going to get it wrong.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, almost 100%. So the Americans are Americans. They're not going to go to hybrid unless they are dragged into it kicking and screaming. So that won't happen yet. The Nissan Leaf, as we know, is the fastest car in the world. But is it faster than i3? Probably. Audi diesel... I'm going to say the Nissan Leaf is faster than an i3.
All right. And Ollie?
I think I have a funny feeling the IndyCar is the year after, because COVID, everything's been delayed by 1 year. So I would imagine IndyCar doing the same thing.
So and you think they're going to keep this generation for another year?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So you've got the option, so Nissan Leaf or the Audi winning 24-hour Le Mans.
It's one truth.
Yeah.
So you think? Oh, ignore. My head's gone. Sorry.
I haven't chosen yet.
My head. I thought it sounded like you were saying that one was true, so I was like, why are you going through the other ones? But clearly.
No. A tip for anyone making a podcast, don't invite Brummy to your podcast.
Don't ask me. Don't ask me.
So I don't like the BMW i3.
Ugly,
disgusting car. It got nothing on the Leaf.
Slow compared to the Golf. Slow. Leaf.
Yeah. It's smaller. It's German, so that means it's very efficient. But also a little bit racist. So
why for that?
I think the Leaf one is true.
Ooh. Right. Imagine if it's the IndyCar one now.
Imagine. Please no.
I don't think it is. That's so tense.
Oh, tense. Cut it with a knife.
Yeah. First of all, Nissan Leafs aren't German.
No, I know. No, it's the BMW.
The BMW. Oh, you're on about the BMW.
You're as bad as me.
I was like, what is he on about? Nissan German? I'm like, what? Right, anyway, let's start over in America. IndyCar is changing over to a hybrid era, but that is from 2023 onwards. So they're racing the current cars until 2022.
Copy.
And I think Rickson had a point that it might have been pushed back.
I thought that was starting at the 2020. No, that's they're starting at the 2022 season, right?
No, starting 2023.
So it was a year off. Still counts.
Next, we have the Audi Diesel, who won the 1998 24 Hours of the Nürburgring. The winner of the 1998 24 Hours of the Nürburgring was a diesel, but it was a BMW 320D.
Oh, wow.
Yes, the Leaf's done it again!
2019 BMW i3 does 0 to 60 miles an hour, 0 to 100 kilometers an hour in 6.8 seconds. The Leaf does it in a face-melting, asphalt-tearing 6.5.
Quite the quick, you know.
That's quicker than my MX-5.
The Leaf is rapid.
My Beamer.
Jeez.
So who got it right?
Alex and I. I think it's Alex.
Still not scored a point?
No, you did.
I think the point here is that Rickson still has none.
No. He got a point last week.
Yeah, that's right. Fuck yeah.
I think it's Ken, Alex, and I are on two while Rickson's on one.
I'll take it.
That's it now. The end of the podcast.
Just to compare.
Yeah.
A 2014 Maserati Ghibli. Right, granted, it's a diesel, but that does it in 6.1, so that compares the absolute
Can we use the Leaf as the thumbnail again now? Is that what we've all agreed on?
What, do you think it's going to get clickbait or something?
Yeah.
That's the Leaf. Girls love a Nissan Leaf.
Yeah. You start drifting Nissan Leaf.
If you pull up to a Mackie's car park in a Nissan Leaf, you're getting all the 16-year-old birds, Alex. Just right up your shit.
Well, I don't want to take anything from the Leaf. 6.5 is really quick for a family electric car.
Incredibly
quick. Family? It's a sports. It's a hypercar. What do you mean?
Family? Have you not seen how low it is to the floor?
Have you not seen the streamlined body of that car?
God, it's about as streamlined as a dumpster.
I might have just seen Ken left the chat.
But just to put it in comparison, well, not like I said, not to take anything away from the Leaf, because
it sounds like
good.
You're taking a lot away. To be honest,
No. I'm just putting another feather up the bum of Tesla. Their Model S now with the upgraded package does it in 2.3.
Jeez, that's silly. That rips your face off.
Still, I'd rather buy a Leaf than a Tesla.
I mean, that would have my spine ripping out of my arsehole.
You could buy six secondhand Leafs for the price of a secondhand Tesla.
Yeah, that's true. Value for money, that. Consumer advice.
Everyone, you could buy one for your whole family. We could buy one. Everyone of all of us could get a Nissan Leaf, a secondhand Nissan Leaf, for the price of less than a Tesla. Consumer advice. Bargain.
And we can actually all... you know, fit in with some luggage.
We could. We just couldn't get very far because it's a second-hand Leaf and it can only do 70 miles, but that's not the point.
I mean, that's it. That's not the
It's funny because next week's going to go, welcome back to the podcast, sponsored by the Nissan Leaf. Yeah! Yeah!
All right, I think that's the end of the podcast for this week. I just want to give a quick shout out to our listeners in America, though, because I haven't had a chance to do that. We've got a few in Dallas, some in Houston, Texas, giving us a bit of love, and lots in San Jose, California, and one in, hopefully I pronounced it right, Wichita.
Wichita, yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for our American listeners, and also to our listeners in Spain, Moldova, Russia, and of course the UK. So shout out to everybody and thank you for downloading this to the podcast. I didn't realize we had so many fans, but that's it's great to see.
Pretty awesome. Yeah, fair shout out to you.
Yeah. So if you aren't subscribed yet, don't forget to do that by clicking the follow button on Spotify or subscribing to us on YouTube and of course following on iTunes as well. And if you want to keep up to date with anything we post, it is most likely to be on Twitter at GridWatchersPod. You can find us on there and give us a follow to keep up to date with everything we do, really. But I think that rounds it off. So thank you to Ken, Alex, and Rickson for joining me once again. And we'll see you. Is it 2 weeks or 1 week, Ken?
Yeah, 2 weeks' time.
Okay, so as it's 2 weeks, we'll have time to hopefully fit in something in the middle. We'll do another special because the other one went down quite well. So we'll do another one hopefully when we get a chance. So thank you for listening, guys, and we'll speak to you very soon. Good night.